Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 21st day of August, Anno Domini 2021. Happy birthday, Elaine. And you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 9 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, take off your shoes, don't get the blues, here comes the news. No, before we do anything, let us remind everyone listening in that we are, we have no Steve Ray.
That's
and
right.
Consequently,
we are Ray-free.
We are Ray-free, but we are Worcesterful.
That's right.
And we are delighted with that, but he does not, for some reason, he doesn't want to have to learn the open broadcasting system software
right.
And buy five or six cameras just so he can do this once or twice a month.
Well, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Slacker. And per my contract, I'm always more handsome when people can only hear my voice.
That's exactly right. You have a face for radio. And
we all do.
We all do. And so,
but wait a minute. I'm going to back you up a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, folks, if you see Elaine at the public marker, please, her and her special gift that she's got, you got to stop by and say hello to her and her favorite gift now.
That's she's right. Got a, she's get got your picture a, taken with it.
She's got a gift. Get your picture taken with her gift.
Put a hashtag.
Mention that you heard it on the show and buy a cup of coffee and get your picture taken with the gift. It's a clever idea and it's going to be a lot of fun.
And see if you can be the first person who calls in and tells us what the gift is.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
It's all about the synergy, right?
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. All right.
So what's in the news?
Google is in the news. They have officially unbelievable. They have officially unveiled their next mid-range phone, the Pixel 5a.
Okay.
The A line, by the way, is for affordable.
Okay.
It's most of the stuff in the Pixel line, only a lot cheaper.
Okay. It's not just for Arthur Fonzarelli?
Not for Arthur Fonzarelli.
I was looking at the
Yeah, the big news and the main selling point of the Pixel A series is the price, which is $449 or $100 more than the Pixel 4a. 4a, this is the 5a. Part of the reason for the price increase is the Pixel 5a is a bigger phone. Another big change is the addition of IP67 dust and water resistance, which means the phone should survive...
Take two.
I just washed my mouth. Can't do it.
All right, let's go back to the top. All right, ready? And go.
Good afternoon. Which means the phone should survive submersion in 3 feet of water, which is about a meter, for those of you who don't use freedom measurements, for about 30 minutes. As with the Pixel 5A's body is metal-coated in plastic, as opposed to the pure plastic body of the Pixel 4A. As usual, we're getting a new no-frills design that takes care of the basics. On the front, there's a slim bezel OLED display and a hole-punch camera in the top right, while there are two cameras, both main and wide-angle, and a capacitive print reader on the back. I love the print reader on the back. Specs include a Dragon 765G. That's a 7-nanometer chip with two Cortex A76 cores and 6 Cortex A55 cores, 6 gig of RAM, 128 gig of storage, and you'll like this, Dave, the biggest battery of any Pixel, 4,680 milliamp hours.
Wow.
The main camera is 12.2 megapixels, the wide-angle camera is 16 megapixels, and the front camera is 8 megapixels. Oh, yeah. And the headphone jack is sticking around for another year. I love me a headphone jack. If there's a disappointment in the Pixel 5a, it's the 60 hertz display, which is looking pretty slow in a world where 90 hertz and 120 hertz are often the norm. On the other hand, if what you're concerned with is battery life, 60 hertz is a good
thing. Yeah,
right.
That's one thing, though, I'm going to backtrack just for a second. We don't want to promote nor endorse submerging it in 3 foot of water for 30 minutes.
Yeah. No, we do not.
Don't be the first one. Well, I heard it on Soundbites. No, we're not responsible. Don't do that.
No. Those are the specs. And as we know, there's lies, damned lies, and specs.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to try it and say, oops, and have a slight little crease where it didn't quite seal and it seeped in water. No.
No, thank you.
Mm-mm. We're not responsible.
Right. Since its launch in 2019, the Pixel A series has been one of the best mid-range phones you can buy. The phones usually combine solid specs, a no-nonsense design, stock Android, which I love, mm-hmm. and 3 years of Google's day one Android updates, which I really love.
Nice.
Google is falling behind when it comes to the phone's support lifecycle. The Pixel 5a will get 3 years of major updates and 3 years of security updates, while Samsung now offers 3 years of major updates, eventually, and 4 years of security updates, even on cheaper phones in the Pixel 5a price range. Samsung will be a lot slower than Google at shipping these updates out, but it feels wrong that the creator of Android doesn't offer the longest support lifecycle anymore. The Pixel 5a is up for pre-order now and ships on August 26th. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is the Pixel 5a ships soon. And your choices are, can't wait, I'm intrigued, I'll take a look, meh, you'll pry my iPhone for my cold dead hands, and, of course, other. So far, my system is a little slow. We have 30 votes, and meh is 50% of the votes is meh.
But just as surprising, right. Like I say, what intrigued me about this is they're finally waking up to the fact, you know, because they can't add too many more features to a phone other than, you know, upping the memory and, you know, storage space and all that. Yeah, big deal. The big thing is the battery life.
Yep.
And they're actually, they must listen to sound bites and taking our word.
Clearly.
Yeah.
That's the only explanation. And actually, even, you know, a couple more hours, because everybody's relying on their phones more and more to do everything.
Most phones are in the 3800. This is 4800.
Right.
So you can do the math yourself, because I'm not going
Every
to.
Little bit helps. Every little bit helps.
Right. And if after you voted in the forum, and I really hope you do, in the poll, then head on over to the forum. Again, it's soundbites.org. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. You'll see the forum. Second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 21 August 21. The Pixel 5a ships soon. And I have to tell you, I'm personally intrigued. On the other hand, the new Google chip, which will be in the 6 series, is also awfully interesting.
But then that means you would have to, after the 6 comes out, usually it's a few months later, then the 6A will come out.
Mm.
Yeah. They always bring out the most expensive one, and then it's...
In between the 6 in between, and 7 yeah. type models, they'll have the A models.
It's just like right now, the 5 is out, and the 5A.
That's right.
Spur interest.
Right. And of course, folks, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Again, we're not on Twitch or Facebook or YouTube today. Steve is one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest. And but we are live here on the air and on the stream, and you'll also be able to catch the podcast when Steve gets it up tomorrow.
Yep. Yeah, he's got to shake the rattlesnakes out of his boots first.
Exactly. Exactly.
But
before Mr. Butt to you, buddy.
Hey. Before we get to that, pray tell, what sits in front of you that is not a normal laptop?
Show and tell. All right, just tell. We don't have the cameras. You just have to
tell. We don't have the cameras.
Yeah. We'll paint you a word picture.
Of course, he brings it, you know, when we don't have the cameras and everything else.
Exactly. Listeners, you're just going to have to trust us on this one.
You're going to have to trust us. I'm sitting here with my Raspberry Pi 400. I finally got what? There's a story here.
So sit back.
Sit back, relax. I'll tell you a tale. A tale of a...
Waiting for the delivery.
Waiting for the delivery. Exactly what I mean. No, it's worse than that by a lot. All right, kids. I won't go through the whole spiel, but it's time for a story from Uncle Nick. Here's the deal. My beloved daughter, we were at an event, a family event one day, a few weeks ago, about a month ago now. And pretty much everybody at that event was some form of tech geek.
Okay.
Whether they worked in the industry or just liked it. And we got to talking at one point about the Raspberry Pi series, and the 400 came up, and my daughter gave me those doe eyes. You know the pictures of the on Velvet of kids with big eyes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, double those.
Yeah.
And then get them all dewy and watery, like but anime Dad. Tears coming down.
Yeah.
You know.
That only daughters can do.
Yeah. Her first computer was a Linux machine.
Okay.
Her first half dozen computers were Linux machines. And she didn't really get a Mac until she went to college. She was an art major. They said, you got to have a Mac.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. But now she said, you know, I really miss my Linux machine, and I'd like to learn not Pascal, Python.
Python, sure.
I can't do it with my machines for work and blah, blah, blah. So, of course, I said, yeah, all right, fine. And so I bought her one. I bought her a Raspberry Pi 400. $100, all in except the screen. So I bought two.
Right.
One for her, one for me. Hers came, worked great.
Okay.
Mine came, nothing.
DOA, huh?
Better mine than hers.
Right.
Better
right,
mine yeah. than hers.
All right. So you put the tag on the toe and sent
put
it back.
Put the tag on the toe. Now, when I called them, the folks at Canikit, God bless them, they were amazing. They said, okay, here's the deal. Box it up to send it back. We only want the keyboard. Keep the power supply, the mouse,
yeah.
the cables, keep everything else. Keep the micro SD card. Just send us back the keyboard, which is the whole unit. The unit's inside okay. the keyboard. I said, okay. So, and they said, pack it up, take it to UPS. When you have a tracking number, we'll ship you out another one.
Mm-hmm.
They don't wait for
don't
it
wait
to
for
get
it to,
there.
Yeah,
whoa,
and
that's
to receive
cool.
it, yeah. and to do all the paperwork.
Right. So they said, and they said, look, it's COVID. There
right.
may be a delay.
Might be a minute, yeah.
But we'll do it.
Okay.
So it took them a week.
No.
They sent it
that's
back.
That's the longest week of your life.
Longest week of my, no, second longest week, because the longest week is coming up. So I get it. I plug it in. This time I had my hearing aids in.
Okay.
I plug it in and I hear a crackling noise.
And it's not just the hearing aids.
It's not the hearing aids. And it booted up once.
Okay.
Never booted up again. Now I'm thinking the problem was not the unit. The problem is the power supply.
Hmm.
So I packed it up and sent it back again. They were quite nice about it. And while I waited for the third one, which did take about a week and a half this time.
I see.
I had bought this monitor. The monitor is specifically designed to use with a Raspberry Pi. It comes with a 5-volt out
yes.
for the Raspberry Pi.
I see.
Plus its own power supply, plus USB. Comes with all the cables, so now I got more cables than I need.
So it's a display about the size of a laptop display. It's
13.3 inches.
About half an inch thick, and it's got a little kickstand on the back.
Yep, comes with a little kickstand.
And it's got connectors for power in, and it passes the power back out
yep.
so that you can power your Pi, which is located in the keyboard here. So if you were a child of the 80s like I was, and you had home computers that were the, you know, the Commodore 64, the Radio Shack TRS-80, some of the ColecoVision Atom, other things like that would connect to your
wow.
TV.
That is a name out of the past.
Yeah,
Exidy
yeah, really.
Sorcerer.
All of those, all the Atari computers, all the ones that you would connect to your TV to use.
Yep.
This is very similar, where it's a device that's inside the keyboard itself, and you connect that to a display, and you connect all your peripherals to that. But it's kind of the 21st century version that also has Bluetooth and USB and Wi-Fi and
yep.
all those things. And
it has all of that.
And storage that you don't have to run off of a cassette tape. And
So this time I plugged it into the monitor, and it's worked perfectly from day one.
Well, uh-huh. Was there enough power off of that power unit?
Something about yeah. that power supply was...
Yeah, power supply.
So I just threw the power supply away.
Okay.
If I really need one, they're $20-$30, whatever that is. I
right.
don't care. But I don't need it because I got this.
That's right. And the very nice Canadian people didn't
well, if you ever
raise
need...
an eyebrow.
Nope, not a word.
Good.
I wish I had known. Nice if you had said something that you needed a 5-volt power supply, I've got like 4 extras.
Oh. I'll take one.
Because when Goldcrest was going out of business,
that was great.
They were having all kinds of sale, and they had these LED lights and the power supplies and all that. Well, I needed the 5-volt power supplies to run a couple of my Raspberry Pis.
Sure.
Separate.
So long as they have the USB-C.
He made me a deal on 5 of them.
Wow.
So I said, okay. Because he just wanted to clear everything out. He had to get out.
That's right.
I'll happily buy one from you.
Okay.
Because I don't mind having an extra.
All right. So I'm going to do one of my world-famous Dennis Worster rewinds here. We need to say what a Raspberry Pi is and why people like them. And what should listeners who haven't ever heard of this before know?
A Raspberry Pi is a single board computer. That is to say, everything is on a single board.
A circuit board.
Single circuit board.
And about the size of a pack of cigarettes.
Just about, in terms of both depth and because...
About the size of a playing card, more or less.
Deck. Yeah.
Deck, yeah.
And it's various speeds, various sizes of memory, et cetera, et cetera. This particular thing is 1.8 gigahertz, 4 gig of RAM, and it includes 2 USB 3, 1 USB 2, 2 HDMI out, mini HDMI, micro, whatever it is, HDMI out, the power supply, the earphone jack. What am I missing?
Now, for a long time, these were hobbyist machines.
Sound jack. Does it have a sound jack?
It has a sound, microphone.
And you'd use these to build little projects or to run a flavor of Unix called Linux called Raspbian, and you would use it to surf the web or to act as a development computer or just to goof around with as a hobbyist.
Right. What we got to clarify, though, is right now we're talking about you and having the Raspberry Pi 400 versus a regular Raspberry Pi like 4.
Right. We're talking about, at this point, the Raspberry Pis. And they are the pack of a cigarette, and you can buy cases for them and power supplies and use them for anything. In fact, with the Raspberry Pi 4, you can actually use it as a desktop. And I have done that.
Sure.
And it works great. Now,
I'm running two of them.
Right. Now they have the 400, which is the same product, a little bit faster, 4 gig of RAM, inside a keyboard.
Right. So now it's a full-fledged computer inside of the keyboard itself. So there's no CPU tower. There's no laptop, per se, under the keyboard.
No big heat sink.
No big nothing. It's all inside here. There's not even a fan. It's very quiet. It's also very...
It's lightweight. There's no moving parts.
Right.
There's no cooling fan. It's all solid state. And it's just another way that the technology has condensed itself into an even smaller package.
Right. Now, you can buy it in two ways. If you just buy the keyboard, it's $70. But if you buy the full kit,
which you would want to,
you get the keyboard, the power supply, all the cables you need, a mouse, memory card with the operating system already installed. Thank you very much, and all in for $100. $100.
Now, just to be clear, you don't have to do any soldering. You don't have to do any assembly.
You plug everything in. You plug it into your own monitor or TV.
Mm-hmm.
Comes with the cable. So if you've got any monitor TV situation that comes with an HDMI port, you're in.
So pretty much any TV made in the last 10 years, easily.
Exactly. Plug it in, hit the power button, you're on.
You're done. Away you go.
You're done.
And the applications that are out there, folks, if you ever want to be amazed, just do projects for the Raspberry Pi. And then plan on spending the afternoon going through page after page after page of different projects and fun things that you can do very easily. There are so many YouTube videos out there that will literally walk you through, even if you haven't done any coding. They will teach you how to do a lot of this stuff that you can have fun for $100.
And if you don't like watching videos, Nick, didn't you say it came with a book?
Comes with a book. That leads you step by step through all kinds of things.
And doesn't assume any kind of knowledge.
It assumes you can read.
Okay. Yeah. And that's about it.
That's about it. And it really is a full-fledged computer, and you could use it as a desktop computer. Now, is it going to be as fast as a 3 gigahertz tower with 32 gig of RAM and, 8 cores and level? No. But it will do everything. It comes with OpenOffice, already installed, by the way, browser, everything, music players, name it. It does. It has all that stuff. And I'm proving that by bringing it here today to use it as my desktop here.
Fun.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here in the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. Sorry, I'm playing with a new toy.
New toys. You know how it is.
I'm playing with a new toy. Our first caller is Brian from Pavilion, New York. Hi, Brian. What's up?
Gentlemen.
No.
Who walked in?
Where? What?
I just love that. Anyway, you guys have given me pie envy.
Ah, excellent.
I have a lowly 4.
Oh.
I have a 4, and I love it.
Well, you can hang up on me now if you want. I am definitely dragging. I've lowered the bar. But I had purchased this. I've listened to you guys talk about these, and I got one on a whim.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of a free puppy because they are inexpensive, but you got to. By the time I too had the same issues with the power supply, and I returned my first one. They just come with you're almost better off a la carte buying one with a better power supply than anything you're going to get.
Yeah, as Dave said, he gets his with a switch in it and a couple of other things. So,
yeah.
And if anybody's listening and they have to like do what I did, I did the same thing you did. I returned the whole unit thinking I had a problem, but this power supply thing, and then God forbid you have to participate. We actually have to like work with this a little bit. It doesn't come out of the box and say hi. Have a bunch of
Cortana does not greet you.
Yeah.
No.
The 4, all I did was plug it in, came right up, boom, done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, I kind of almost went to war with it to a point where I was frustrated. But that's usually about the time you say you quit. That's when you get it.
So
it was like. I've enjoyed using this. I'm fully on the internet now. Had issues with getting the sound to work, but you have to change parameters and settings. It likens me back to Windows 3.1.
Mm-hmm.
You have to turn things off and on, and you have to do a little research and reading. It's not going to babysit you.
Well, that's why we've been touting that if you want something to play with,
yep,
and it's inexpensive, you can't really break it because all you got to do
a
is
hammer.
Yeah. Other than, reflashing the memory card, put it in, reboot, and start again.
I will say this. The 400, I literally, once I got a working one, I literally just plugged everything in and it worked the first time. Sound, video, everything just worked. I did nothing but figure out which plug goes into which hole.
Right. But mine was considerably more complicated than that.
Yeah.
But one thing it has done for me is back in the day, back during the PET days, and I was immersed myself in that. And long story short, I got really good with QBasic and writing my own stuff. Things certainly have come light centuries from those days. But it's kind of given me a rebirth into, not tinkering and like poking around in the programs and stuff, and you guys are talking about like Python earlier. If you have any sort of like roots or any even sort of tinkering with QBasic or basic programming, Python is actually so much more conversational.
Yeah.
And there is so much for free on the internet to learn that. I mean, they will serve this to you on a silver platter. If you just want to spend a little, a little time after work, 20 minutes a night and taking some tutorial lessons and stuff. Some of the websites they take the Python thing, which of course is named after Monty Python.
Exactly.
And they do kind of humor that up a little in a learning environment, and I'm not being a stick in the mud, okay? Don't get mad at me. But in a learning environment, I could kind of pass on the quirks and the quips. Let's do this.
Right.
Different strokes,
Yeah, that's just me personally. But there's so many websites out there that can really help you learn this and do this. And it really is, as I get older, we are contemporaries.
Yeah.
As I get older, I find that stimulation is very important to me, more so than it's ever been, because we all lose a step. I know I have. And, it's like, the other day I spent 5 minutes looking for the glasses around my head. So.
Yeah. Been there, done that.
Yeah, so if you want to take the time and you're looking for sort of a hobby and something to keep yourself sharp, this is a great way to do it. But, it's not for everybody. And if you say, what I really need is a computer and I want to get work done, but I really don't want to get into all of the nuts and bolts of it, then something like a Chromebook makes a lot more sense, where they've already kind of worked out a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I own all that junk. But the Pi was really, it definitely is a thing. And it's something that, just use as a tease, an attacks on your brain, which
right.
it should.
Right.
So it's good. But, hey, listen, you guys do such a great job. I like Dennis is a great fill-in for Steve. We do miss Steve. But
Thank
Dennis,
you. The check your check is in the mail.
He's a suitable piece of Tetris. It falls on the spot. We need it. So.
Hey. So, I'll take it. I'll take it.
You guys take care. You rock on.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. Bye. While Dave is queuing up the next call, let's talk a little bit about a text question that came in.
All right.
Does the Raspberry Pi support Bluetooth keyboards? Yes. Yes, it does. In fact, if you just Google Bluetooth keyboard Raspberry Pi, you'll see thousands upon thousands upon hundreds of thousands of results on how to connect your Raspberry Pi. Actually, 6,200,000 results.
So the answer is fairly definitive then. The keyboard should
I said
be fine.
There was a few.
Yeah, you should be able to do a keyboard and a mouse and probably other devices. I don't know what the limit on devices is, but
well, it's Linux, sufficient. So your limit is 65,000, I believe.
Yeah, so it's sufficient.
Yeah, but yes, you can. Connecting any Bluetooth keyboard is a little bit tricky because you should have a keyboard to set up keyboard.
Yeah, everything. Right.
Yeah, it's not going to blindly have its pairing turned on.
Auto-detecting.
Right. So, but it is certainly doable. As with any device, you can use a Bluetooth keyboard, Bluetooth mouse. Depending on which Raspberry Pi you have and which keyboard you have, you may need one of those little Bluetooth dongles. But again, you've got 3 or 4 USB ports coming off the back of the thing, and you can always add a USB hub.
Yep.
And add, hub after hub after hub, and have multiple hundreds of devices. So, yes, it is absolutely doable. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Greece, New York. Hiya, Bob. What's up?
Is that me? Your name is Don.
Don, excuse me.
Sorry, but welcome, Don.
Hiya, Don.
Hey, talking about the Raspberry Pi, two things. Dave, you're a ham operator. I'm sure you got to be aware of taking like a Pi Zero and making it a hotspot.
I've got 3 of them.
There you go.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys know, but you go over and take a look at Virtual Here. It extends a USB. Like in my case, I have a repeater for my ham radios.
Okay.
And with Virtual Here, for my repeater, I have to run a software for it. I can program it over the internet. I can access and check temperatures and, make sure the thing is running properly. Mm-hmm. You put a Raspberry Pi at the repeater end, and then whatever your software is that you're running, as long as it runs on USB, you do it.
You're good to go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And you can use that for a variety of things.
Interesting. No, I didn't know about that one. I'm bookmarking it right now.
Oh, yeah. No, I've already got a Wires X and a DMR Pi going. And then I've got another one for the, the set calendar or map.
Okay, so you're already aware of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But our listeners might not have been, so thank you for letting us know.
Like I say, there are so many projects out there, and they've got it that you can do. Some of the other stuff you can get into is FT8 and running FLDigi and a lot of this other stuff that hams might be in, really into.
You can do P25. There's a whole slew of stuff. I'm DMR. I'm strictly DMR.
Yep.
And, that works for me.
Yep.
Over on the Monroe County Talk Group.
Oh, there. Been there a couple times.
There you go. So, all right. Yep. Just wanted to let you guys know about it.
Thanks. Thank you. I've also published a link to virtual here in our on Soundbox.
Oh, very good.
One other thing I should mention, which he just happened to bring up, is right now, if folks want to go out and check, you folks have heard me talk about ham radio, and I've gotten into it now for the past 3 years. Well, there's a free event going on right now at the Rochester Shalott Lighthouse.
Hmm.
And it's called Lighthouses and Lightships on Air. And if you want to learn about ham radio, today from 11 to 5, RARA, which is the Rochester Area Radio Association, is set up out there. And they are making contacts with other lighthouses in that around the country. So if you want to learn something about that, they are there today and tomorrow from 11 to 5. I'll probably be out there tomorrow. And come over and check it out. It's free, and learn a little more about ham radio.
Perfect.
Interesting.
Perfect. So, yeah, that's a lot of interest in the Raspberry Pis today. And Pis are excellent for ham radio because you can buy one very inexpensively. There are probably 100 million programs for hams out there. And it's easy to set up and use.
Well, like I said, I took a Raspberry Pi 4 8 that I had. I wound up getting two of them. And I turned that one into a workstation and another one into replacing my old server. My old servers was one of those old units we had had since the shop was down on Brighton Henry on a Town Line Road. It was one of those
in the 1600s, I believe that was.
3-foot towers that, loaded up with all that stuff.
Yeah, the full-size tower.
No, I got it down to a small Raspberry Pi 4 with a 2-terabyte SSD hard drive hanging off of it, and it's 3 times faster than that old tower that's over 17 years old.
Yep.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you think about computing systems, they used to take an entire floor of a building.
Yeah.
And then down to a room, and then down to half a room, and then down to, a desktop.
Yeah, and like I say, because all it's doing is it's just a place to back up my files. Because, like we tout, backup, backup, backup. And I built that server, for $100, I now have a 2-terabyte server that's doing a third backup of all my files.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing I don't want to lose is, like we've said before, folks, you can recreate documents. That's usually never a problem. You can always find documents here or there. The key thing, at least for me, and it has been for decades, are pictures. I have a lot of precious pictures that I would really, truly be heartbroken if I lost. Because those moments can't be recreated. And by having those backed up in multiple applications, I don't have to worry about that.
Yep.
It's until you lose it. And Steve and I have both run into that, where we've run into folks that bring in their computers over the years and said, I got to get these back. And there's nothing we can do other than maybe sending the hard drive off to some other recovery company, which is going to cost you thousands of dollars and only maybe get some of it back. They can't guarantee it.
Yep. Having multiple copies is always the most important.
Yeah. And it's so cheap.
Yeah. Mine is also an 8-gig Raspberry Pi 4. It's got a 2-terabyte drive on it that does my backup. It also backups and monitors all my online databases. It also monitors my network and does a whole bunch of other stuff. And it's not even breathing heavy.
No. It doesn't take up much space either. Mine's down in the basement over in one corner. And if you didn't, you know, you didn't know what you were looking for, you'd easily miss it.
Yep.
Because it's not like it's got a lot of flashing lights right. and everything else.
And fans and
no, it's only
stuff.
Got actually one little light.
One little red light, yeah.
Shows that it's on. Oh, I take that back. A red and a green light.
Yes.
Right.
Red light that it's on and the green light that it's connected to the internet.
Yep. That's it.
Boop.
They're
fun.
Ridiculous. And for those of you who wonder about things like that, I'm currently running 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tabs on my Raspberry Pi 400.
On your browser, okay.
In my browser, and I just finished running my stock and cryptocurrency programs here under Python, and mm-hmm. I am using 1% of my processor.
Right.
And it's at 35 degrees Celsius.
Well, one of the other websites, and I know Steve posted a link to it. I think it's Leaps SS Videos.
Yeah, it's on our website.
Is a link there. If you want to check out the different operating systems that can be run on it. Like I've run a couple different ones. And this guy goes through a lot of in-depth stuff on, you know, various operating systems, right down to SD cards and which are the faster ones, which are the good ones. Yeah, I wouldn't buy this because it's a little bit slower to optimize your performance on the Raspberry Pis. And he's constantly putting out videos at least once a week on different updates and other things that he's tried because he's totally addicted to this.
Yeah.
And one of the other things that you don't think about, but once you get into it, you notice, is that you can switch between systems just as easily as killing the power to the device and swapping out the SD cards.
Yeah.
So if you decide, hey, I want to be running Pi Hole to filter all my DNS requests, you can do that in the morning. And if in the afternoon it's time to monitor your 3D printer, you could have Octoprint on a different SD card, and you fire that up and connect it and connect your webcam to it, and then you can remotely watch your 3D printer do its printing as well as keep track of what its status is and how well it's doing.
There are about a dozen and a half operating systems you can run on a Raspberry Pi as well, and I've thought about grabbing a couple of extra just 16 gig micro SD cards for pennies on, you know, they cost nothing.
Right.
And just trying a few out.
And check your old cell phones, because you might have one in the slot there that you could harvest and make use of.
Right.
That might be big enough, because it doesn't take much. So it really is such a flexible, affordable, and downright fun and something that helps you, you know, scratch that itch you might have of, I wonder how I would do this, or, hey, what's this thing that looks kind of interesting?
Yep. And let's take a look at the geeks among us.
Hello.
Hi. How are you? Welcome to that club. 4 gig. You think to yourself, oh my gosh, 4 gig is not enough.
Yeah.
I must have 32 gig. I must. Well, yes. If what you're doing is, I don't know, Photoshop all day long,
right? Or statistical analysis of things, and.
But I'm running 4 gig here. And like I said, I've got a half a dozen tabs open, just finished running a bunch of programs. I am using 0.5 gig.
Right.
Excuse me, 536 meg.
Right. Well, these OSs have been tuned to run well in that set of constraints.
Right, which leaves me just about 2.5 gig free because...
But in terms of responsiveness of you using the equipment and, you know, mouse clicks and typing, it keeps up with you just fine.
Yeah. It's fast and it's easy. And you know, I admit it. I did not know how well it would work here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm
in the studio.
50 things. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We had to set some stuff up.
I'm doing 50 things here.
That's right. And you jump around between different things that you're doing and logging calls and looking things up for callers.
And
there's a lot of things
stuff.
To do.
The slowest thing is getting to, what did I just do? Yeah. The slowest thing is the Soundbites website, because it is slow. It is running WordPress, and it's slow.
Right.
I wrote a, I wrote a program called TTFB in Python, time to first byte.
Okay.
And that's really the best way to determine the response time of your network.
Okay.
How long does it take you to get that first byte back?
Mm-hmm.
And in every one of my websites, and I'm checking 8 of them, they're sub-second, mostly sub-half-second, except for 2, which, shockingly, are both WordPress sites. WordPress, not fast. Very convenient, very easy to use, very easy to work with.
Price is right.
And it's price is right, it's free. But it is not the fastest website on the planet.
There are ways to tune it, yeah.
Yeah. Before we go, let me quickly read this next item on the news list. Apple has long allowed Mac, iPhone, and iPad users to access their iCloud drives on a PC using an app you can get from the Microsoft Store. And while the software let you download your photos and files, any passwords stored in your keychain were a more complicated matter. That's about to change for the better. With version 12.5 of iCloud for Windows, Apple is adding a password manager to the software. Once you download the update from the Microsoft Store, you can use the tool to add, edit, copy, paste, delete, and look up any passwords you have stored in your iCloud keychain. You can also use the app in conjunction with Microsoft Edge, your Google Chrome extension, to autofill a password when you're surfing online. Apple says the app stores all stores all. I knew I was going to screw that up. Stores all your passwords. When I was writing it, I knew I was going to screw that up. Stores all your passwords within an encrypted database on your computer and transfers that encrypted file to the relevant browser extension over a secure channel. The app will automatically save and sync any website usernames and passwords, but won't do the same for applications and other sensitive personal data like your credit card number. It's all pretty standard functionality that apps like NPass or 1Password or Dashlane have offered for years, but if you're an iPhone user who frequently saves their logins to iCloud, you'll appreciate having an easy access to them on your PC. Are you ready for another password manager? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
You see, it's a good thing that I came today, because this was one that I did not know until I read this article.
There you go. That's what we're here for.
That's right.
To give you small pieces of nearly useless information that suddenly make you happy.
It is a place of learning.
It's a place of learning.
Well, just to get folks to use some form of password management, then, you know, using the same password for every single application.
Yeah, that's risky.
And then they wonder, you know, once they get hacked on one thing, then all of a sudden they're hacked on many others. And, oh, how'd they find that out? Well, maybe because you use it on every darn website that you go to, even your banking?
Right.
Hello, Buffalo.
Right. Always select a different and complex password. Now, by complex, I simply mean numbers, letters, uppercase, lowercase, symbols. But it doesn't have to be, you know, J43, left elbow 15. That's nonsense. You can string together words.
That's true.
Horse, staple, battery.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Would be a password with asterisks or underscores and maybe a number in there somewhere. And then you can easily write that down and remember it. And it's also easier to type because it's an actual word.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll find that is the best way to do this stuff. And having some sort of password manager means that you don't have to strain your brain. The password manager will remember it for you. They're ridiculous. Then you only have to remember one password, the password to the password manager.
Yep.
And you can make that complex. And then you can give it to someone. One of the things we all worry about is what happens to our stuff after we pass.
Yeah.
If your significant or even insignificant other knows your password for the password manager, they can manage your stuff after you pass.
That's right.
So
it's responsible.
There's no reason not to do it and every reason to do it. So get your act together, download and install a password manager, set it up and use it. They'll even recommend passwords for you. Because I know the thing people, 99% of the time you say to somebody, okay, now you got to put in a password, they freeze.
That's right.
All you have to do is hit the generate button. It generates a password for you and you are done.
That's right. And it will save it in your password manager for you.
It in the password manager.
You don't even have to type it.
And it'll even put it into there, autofill for you if you wanted to. All right, that music tells us you have wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense, but do not go away because there's a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. Soundbites coming your way with Dave Enright, with Dennis Worcester, with a Raspberry Pi 400, and with me, Nick Francesco. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You are listening to Soundbites right here on the Truly Great, and truly, truly grateful to you that we continue with your generous support to be member supported. Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just a couple of minutes. Take a bio break. We'll see y'all on the other side.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Sound Bites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. For those of you just tuning in, Steve Ray, one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest. No video today on Twitch or Facebook or YouTube, but we are still live over the air and live on the stream. And if you heard that announcement, you already knew that.
So that's right.
That's okay.
And if you need to picture me, it's like George Clooney, but younger.
But younger and handsomer. And with more of a twinkle in his eye. It's uncanny.
Right.
It's uncanny.
Believe it, ladies.
Believe it. Believe it or not.
Please.
He's walking on air. All right. Do we have somebody in the line? No.
Yes, we do.
Switcheroo.
And I forgot her name. It's a young lady.
Right. I apologize. May I have your name? Hello?
Caller?
Hello, caller.
She hung up.
Yeah, we get that a lot.
No, that was smart of you. Really, you don't want to talk to us.
That's all right. Call back if you want to. We'll be happy to talk to you.
We will be delighted, in fact, to speak
with
you.
We promise to be nice to you.
But we didn't.
As we do with all of our callers.
Yes.
I'm sorry about that.
Promise to be as nice as we can be, at any rate. That's not.
Yeah. We try.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Oh,
time for some news.
Yeah,
let's just in.
I'm trying to think of the.
And the people who are texting us, the problem is you're not texting a phone. You're texting an app, and stuff scrolls out. So we get people who text stuff in, and it scrolls out of the way, and we can't get it back. So
apologies.
If we don't answer your question, we apologize, but you should probably call in. Because
what number should they use to call in?
Well, calling in is easy. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
Well, we had one caller with a Galaxy 7S and wanted to know about doing online banking with his phone since he's not getting any more security updates.
Hmm.
Okay.
Good
there you
question.
Go.
Well, anything you do with your bank is going to be SSL encrypted from
right.
the time it leaves your phone to the time it gets to the bank.
But the question becomes on the phone.
Yeah.
If you have some sort of spyware
true.
On your phone, you will not see updates to that software that would prevent that from happening.
So in general, I would say if you are on an OS that's not getting active security updates, that is a risk.
That is always a risk.
And you have to determine if you're comfortable with that or not. I would say if you can afford to switch to a phone that has an up-to-date OS that is receiving security updates, that would always be my first choice and my recommendation.
Right. If you have never added any app, you're absolutely certain you've never gotten any kind of malware through a text or email or anything like that on your phone, then, you know, you're still rolling the dice, but it's a better roll. But in general, once you've stopped getting updates, you should be as careful as you possibly can. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Richard from Greece, New York. Hi, Richard, what's up?
Hi, I've got a question pertaining to T-Mobile.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have an iPhone 11. I'm a T-Mobile customer, and all the stuff I read in the paper, it's really scary. What should we do, just sit back and wait to be scammed? I mean, it's scary. Anything we should do?
You know, that you're bringing this up, you're asking fantastic questions. I think Nick even wrote a piece about the T-Mobile situation. There was 49 million accounts that T-Mobile had breached, their personal data. And it was there was a hack on the servers, and it included personal information, first and last names and social security numbers, driver's licenses and ID information.
Yeah, it was everything. Everything. First and last names, date of birth, social security number, driver's license, ID information.
What a gold mine.
A complete gold mine.
Yeah.
And yes. Now, T-Mobile says none of the hacked data included financial information, credit or debit card, any sort of payment information.
Well, okay.
They got social security numbers. Hello?
Yeah. They are offering 2 years of free identity protection service. You should take advantage of all of this.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
2 years of free identity protection service. Obviously, change all your PIN numbers. They have something called account takeover protection. You should do that.
Yep, enable that.
And they have published somewhere on their website a whole page of information about this stuff. Nobody knows at this point if anybody purchased the data, if the data are being used in actual identity thefts or other stuff. The problem is it's not unusual for these kinds of data to be published online somewhere.
Right.
Somewhere
on
the web.
The dark web.
Yeah.
And especially when, you know, they can sit there and, tell, credit card information wasn't still. They don't need it. Hello, they've got your social security numbers and everything else. They can open up new cards under your name and have the cards delivered to them.
If it were me, were I a T-Mobile customer, I would immediately change my credit cards.
Oh, everything, yeah.
I would change all my PINs.
In a hot moment.
Obviously, you can't change your name, your date of birth, or your social security number, but everything else you can.
Not unless change. You're a federal witness.
Right. but yes, I, Richard, believe me, I empathize with you 100%. I absolutely get it. It's a horrible situation. For those of you who don't know, basically what happens is on Wednesday, T-Mobile said that criminals had obtained personal information is then a set of about 49 million customers, current, former, and prospective customers. And that's just the latest hack for them. In addition to the 49 million former, current, and prospective customers, about a million active T-Mobile prepaid customer data was also stolen. Some of which were inactive accounts. So if you used to have a T-Mobile account, they may have your information. It really is a horrible, horrible situation. And as I said, Richard, you're stuck. I apologize, but there's not much else you can do about this other than change everything you can change. Yeah,
be proactive now, and don't think that it might not happen because it very well could. It's better to go to the side of, just go ahead and change everything.
An ostrich and hope it doesn't happen to you or change everything you can.
So basically just change my PIN numbers, go on the T-Mobile website, get that...
account takeover protection.
Account takeover protection. And what was the other one?
Passwords. Any passwords or that, I would change them.
Change your PIN numbers, get the theft protection service, get the account takeover protection.
Well, the one thing that we've been touting, Richard,
The other most important thing is to go to your bank, Tell them this happened and make sure they've got some sort of protection on your credit cards.
Right.
Because that, because, like, for example, my credit card was stolen once. Saturday morning at 8 a.m., I got a phone call from my bank, and I know it was my bank because I'd done business with them and they were in my
phone bank. List.
And they didn't ask me for any personal information. They said, hello, Mr. Francesco. We're calling about your credit card that ends in blah, blah, blah. Did you purchase 6 mink coats in Florida this morning?
Well, yeah, it was Saturday.
Yeah, it's Saturday. No, I did not. Thank you. We're going to cancel this credit card. We're going to deny that payment, and we will send you a brand new credit card. Thank you. Click. Done. Done. But my bank does that.
Mine might say with
make sure that yours does.
Right.
That should be the first call you make.
Okay. Well, I will do that. I will change the PIN. I'm going to be busy. That's all.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
But that's where we recommend, Richard, is like a, you know, a product like EnPass or that you can use to put in passwords that nobody really is going to probably in our lifetime guess them, because they generate some really good ones that you can have up to 64 characters long or even longer.
What's the name of that?
EnPass.
ENPASS.
Okay, GNPASS.
No,
E as in Edward.
Oh, ENPASS.
Yeah, look at that, because like I say, you only have to remember one password, and that's the one to get into the main screen.
Vault. Yeah,
and it will generate passwords that I guarantee you nobody in their lifetime is going to break.
And in addition to that, although they don't mention that passwords were stolen in this hack, if you are a T-Mobile customer and you have a password with them, please first make sure you do not use that password anywhere else.
Yeah.
If you do, change every one of those sites immediately using EnPass to something else, and change that password immediately as well.
Yeah, especially if it's also used for your email.
It's such an easy product to set up and use. You won't believe it. You wonder why you didn't do it so much sooner.
Right. But the first call you should make is to your bank.
Yes.
To make sure that you're protected. The second thing you should do is change all your PIN numbers and all your passwords. And then decide if you still want to be a T-Mobile customer. Although, you know, yes, T-Mobile's been hit multiple numbers of times. So has everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's really scary. To make a long story short, I went there about a year and a half ago. You got an iPhone and a second iPhone free if you signed up for a 2-year whatever. Well, this turned into be a nightmare.
Yeah, it really wasn't worth a free phone, was it?
Oh, not at all. Not at all.
We hear you.
No, I get it. But you've got some work to do, Richard. I'm sorry, but you do.
Well, hey, thank you for the help. I really appreciate it.
Good luck.
I'll do what you said, and I'll get started on it now.
Let us know how you make out.
I will.
All right. Take care, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right. So consider this. T-Mobile is a carrier, and they have subscribers, and they have towers that are able to handle those subscribers. But they also have pieces of their service that go unused that they sell wholesale to other companies called mobile virtual network operators. T-Mobile sells their stuff to Mint Mobile, you know, the one that's got Ryan Reynolds on all the TV commercials, that handsome devil.
Yeah. Almost as handsome as
well,
you.
Well, he's my twin.
Yeah.
You know, he's my lookalike.
Right.
So what I want to know is if you are a customer of Mint Mobile, an MVNO of T-Mobile, should you be as concerned about this? Or is your information separate because you're dealing with that company and you're only dealing with T-Mobile's network and not really a customer of T-Mobile proper?
Right. You're only using them as a carrier of data, not as a holder of data.
Right. You don't have a arrangement with them directly.
Right. I would assume
that you're protected.
No. Yes. Yes, I would assume that.
Okay.
I mean, it's the same as with Verizon. They all share the same poles.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
but somebody else has their MVNO.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Tom from Brighton, New York. Hi, Tom. What's up?
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. So a quick follow-up on this topic of the T-Mobile thing. First of all, why do they have your Social Security number?
Because they ask for it and you give it?
Why would they? What possible reason would they have for having your Social Security number?
I don't know, but they ask for it and people give it.
Well, that should stop. Anyway, the second question would be...
No, the real problem with Social Security numbers is they're not any sort of real number. All they are sequential numbers.
Right.
There's no way to verify that it's a real Social Security number. There's no way to protect it. There's, you know, nothing. It's not even a real, you know, your bank number, your credit card number is an algorithm. You cannot generate a random credit card number without knowing the algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, everyone does, but you have to have that algorithm. There's no such algorithm, really. The first three numbers are some sort of
registry,
state code, or like that. But that's all. And those numbers are in no way secure or unique.
Yeah, I understand. You know, when I got my first Social Security card back in the very early 60s, I remember it said right on the card not to be used for identification.
Right.
So the follow-up would be, all right, given people that have this problem, it is... Sometimes it's hacked and used for ulterior motives. Why cannot people change their Social Security number? What's the reason for that?
Because the government has no mechanism to allow that.
And it's very, their systems are very antiquated.
Yeah. They have not only no mechanism to do that, they are not interested in making a mechanism to do that.
There's no money in it for them.
Right.
Well, this is still supposed to be a democracy. So since I think is a big... motivation and many people want to change it. Why can't we do it?
Great question.
Great question.
Okay. I mean, you shouldn't have to call your congressman in order to get something like this done. There's enough difficult problems in this world to solve without adding what really are trivial things to do.
Yep. No, I completely agree with you. But yeah,
it is what it is. Call the Social Security Administration and see if they have people who are ready to hear this as a recommendation.
Okay. All right. So you did a great job, guys. Thanks very much.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. To catch everybody up who only tuned into the second hour, I have a new toy on the desk in front of me. I am using a Raspberry Pi 400.
He finally broke down and did it, folks.
I broke down 3 weeks ago.
Shamed him into doing it long enough.
I did. I broke down a month ago. But we
just took some time to get one.
Anticipation has been building for weeks.
You have no idea. This one, every week, he duns me. You're getting a Raspberry Pi.
All right.
I never said no.
He's got his nose up against the glass. He's waiting for the delivery truck to come. He's fogging up the glass with his breath.
Oh, right. Yesterday I was F5-ing.
refresh.
Take a half an hour, an hour.
Come on, tracking number.
Yep. I even signed up for the, you know, send me a text message when it gets delivered.
Oh.
I'm still hitting F5 all the time.
We're 5 stops away.
Yeah.
Come on, truck.
Yeah. It lies, though. That lies.
Yeah.
You know, they're still 5 stops away, and it's already been delivered.
Yeah, it doesn't keep up quite as well. There's a lot of inherent delay in those systems, I think.
Right.
A lot of batch processing going on.
Yep. But at least it gives you an idea.
Yeah. But now you can, like I said before, that was touting, now you can be your daughter's support person.
Yes, I can.
She was the one that wanted to get into it, and we've been talking about Raspberry Pis for how long now on the show?
Yep. Well, the reality is I have the 4 already, and now the 400, but I could support her through the 4, about 99%.
But there's, like we keep telling folks, and until you try it, you know, we can have so much fun with these little devices.
Yeah.
For very little money. And if something gets screwed up, it's like, oh, no big deal. You pull the SD card out, reflash it with one. Well, matter of fact, off air, we were talking about. There's so many different operating systems that you can put on them. And All it takes is buying a bunch of little small micro SD cards. You can buy 32 gig ones now, dirt cheap. You can probably get a 5-pack for under $50 off of Amazon, I'm guessing. But you get a bunch of them, and you could literally put an operating system, you know, say you get five of them. You could put five different operating systems on those five different cards and load one at a time. You know, put it on, run this one. All right, take it out, put in another one, load up something totally different.
And by the way, the folks at Raspberry Pi have an installer. You download the installer for any operating system.
And they have the formatter. Linux. They have the formatter.
That's the same
Raspberry Imager.
And it's called the Imager. And what you do is you just say, oh, I want to put this image, this operating system, on this micro SD card.
Yep.
And that's hit the okay and wait. And that's literally all you have to do.
Yeah, like 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's nothing.
One of the other hidden tools in there, in the Imager, which a lot of folks don't know, is a lot of folks are using micro SD cards.
Mm-hmm.
My two Raspberry Pis literally boot off a SSD hard drive. And there's a way that you can, in the Imager, you can go in and say, yeah, tell you what, don't look for an SSD micro SD card. Make this hard drive bootable. And it will do it. Mm-hmm. And then it'll put the image on there. You plug it in, boot it up, and away you go.
That's amazing. What I'm using.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Gordon from Rochester, New York. Hi, Gordon, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Can you put whipped cream on the Raspberry Pi? I was just wondering.
Just kidding.
And a raspberry.
You can do it once.
Yeah.
What I really want to know is I hear you all talking about the password managers and all that. And then after hearing about this thing with T-Mobile, I just wonder if you're using one password for, you know, everything you got, and that sounds safer from what you guys say, but what makes that safer? Because once that gets hacked, they got all the other stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, yes. Okay, so here's the deal with that. Depending on which password manager you use, and like we said, we like NPass. That password decrypts the database on your computer. It doesn't. That password is known to no one but you.
But you and anybody that you declaratively share
it to. And it's 128-bit encryption.
Yeah. So when, for example, I back up my encrypted database to Google's cloud. And then on every device I have, I can put NPass and run that program from there.
Ooh. He really likes NPass.
Really
makes him want to party.
Stay on the line. We got to take a quick break. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, my Raspberry Pi 400, me, Nick Francesco, Gordon from Rochester, New York, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites. This is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at
34
minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Yeah, I don't have the second screen apparently.
Well, try unplugging it and plugging it back in.
Yeah, that's that's the way to do it.
Are you sure so it's plugged in?
So it refines it. What we're doing, folks, just so you know,
this is great radio.
We have a nice 55-inch TV screen in the studio here. And Nick is trying to hook up his Raspberry Pi to the screen. So down the road, hopefully, if we can get this working in future weeks, when Steve is here with all his cameras, we can point, say, the camera that's normally at me right at the screen and see the Raspberry Pi in action. So we could actually, you know, show you what you can do with a Raspberry Pi. For radio, it'll make it a little bit better radio.
That's true. And then Steve can show the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the different operating systems, that type of stuff, as we talk about them and do a little bit better job of
describing.
Yeah,
I'll have to play around with it. It's, yeah, it's not.
It's a work in progress. This is a proof of concept.
But we still have Gordon on the line, right, Gordon?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay,
so here's the deal with a product like EnPass, and they mostly all work the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is you have your password, which is used locally to encrypt and decrypt the database. Nowhere else has that password, and it's not saved anywhere.
Just in your head.
Just in your head.
Or if you might have written it down and keep it in with all of your important papers.
So if someone wants to steal your database, they can't find that password anywhere. They have to guess it. So as long as you make it reasonably strong, your database is secure.
Okay. I think what I'm really wondering is, you know, after listening to the T-Mobile story, I mean, what if EnPass gets hacked? Is that a worry?
That's very unlikely.
Really what I'm trying to get at.
That's very unlikely because, like Nick said, you're using this app, okay, which has 120-bit encryption. So if you create a strong password, because like Nick said, you only have to remember the one, and that's the main password to get into EnPass. EnPass will generate and create passwords for all your accounts. And you can make them as weak or as strong as you want. I mean, a lot of my passwords are over 64 characters
long. That's not what he's really asking. What he's really asking is, if EnPass gets hacked, can they get my password to unlock the database? And the answer to that is no, because they never have that password.
No, they never
know. Only you have it.
Right. EnPass only has the hash of the password.
Right.
So, like, when T-Mobile gets hacked, I mean, they didn't need everyone's passwords, right? Or am I missing something?
Well, they used some way to get into the database, and then they had everything in that database. The point for a product like EnPass or OnePass or Dashlane is that there is no way to get your password unless you give it to someone, because it isn't in any database anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And then and none of my information is really there either. It's just a bunch of passwords. Is that what you're kind of getting at?
Well, what is in there is any information you put in there, but it's encrypted 128-bit or 256-bit, whichever you pick. And depending on how strong your password is, the likelihood that someone could break that could be centuries.
Yeah.
I honestly don't care if somebody gets my passwords 500 or 600 years from now.
Right.
God bless him.
So even 100 years from now.
I don't have to worry about any corporations getting hacked and people coming in a back door to get all my passwords.
Exactly. Not through EnPass or OnePass or Dashlane,
right.
Because there is no database of your open up the software password.
Right. That just lives in your head.
Right.
All right. I think I get it as much as I possibly can.
Well, that's all we can hope for.
That's all anybody can hope for.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks
all
very
right,
much.
All right. Thanks.
Guys. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's the thing I like about products like EnPass and OnePass and Dashlane is that they are highly and heavily encrypted.
Oh, yeah.
And the password you use to decrypt doesn't exist anywhere in the EnPass or any of their databases. It's only in your head. So if you forget it, you're kind of screwed, frankly. So don't forget it.
Right.
Put it somewhere secure.
Write that down.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's the only one you have to protect at that point. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Paul from Henrietta, New York. Hi, Paul. What's up?
Hi, good afternoon. Yeah, I'm a newbie to Raspberry Pi this winter. I ordered, I forgot the name of the company, but like the basic, it's a clear case and came with some of the, you know, the wires. And then I decided to go first with the touchscreen, the official element, I guess, element 14.
Yes.
Which was fun to put together. I enjoyed it, but then it just seemed limiting to learn Linux on it. So what I've got now hooked up is it's fixed. I've got the clear case, which my, one of my questions will be, it seems like it's heating up pretty quick. And I've got a hooked up to a wired keyboard and mouse and to a TV through HDMI.
Right.
So I guess one of my first questions is, what should I do? Is it a concern that this gets heated up pretty quick?
Are you using, does it have, did it come with the heat sinks? There should be like three heat sinks that you would have put on the CPU chips.
Yeah, they're plastic, black. Like,
No.
They should be aluminum.
No, these are a little, they look like little, heat sinks. They're like little slotted pieces of aluminum.
Yeah, they're black. They're metal. I'm saying they're plastic. They're probably metal.
They are metal.
I did attach them.
Okay, is this a Raspberry Pi 3 or 4?
It's a 4.
You need a fan.
You could do with a fan instead of the heat sinks. I put a fan on mine.
I use both.
Yeah, you can use both.
So a new case then, because I don't see it.
You can get a case that has they're different colors, but it has a fan built into it that you can then hook up to the Raspberry Pi
for power.
Okay.
For your power. You know how you have that long strip of pins? And in the instructions of the Raspberry Pi, it'll tell you what pins to hook up what ones to. It's only to a black and a red.
Well, that was a fun learning for the touchscreen display is how to use the pins.
Yeah.
Kind of fun. But again, it just seemed just very limiting. So then the next question is, once I do, because I can still use it without, it, I think, getting too overheated just for a brief time. Is how do I learn Linux? So I've got the Chrome set up, which I'm so used to between Android and Microsoft, the window being able to automatically adjust the Chrome window to fill, the full space. But I guess I'm learning, you have to cut and drag, right, to do that? Let me back up and ask the question. So how can I learn the Linux? I'm using whatever the Raspberry Pi card came with.
Yep, probably Raspbian.
Yeah.
All right. Like we've said before, there's a great gentleman that if you go to YouTube, there's a lot of YouTube videos out there right now that, I think it's Leaps, L-E-E-P-S-P videos.
Okay.
If you do a search on them, he's got a lot of great videos for learning different operating systems, and he will walk you through it step by step.
Great. Okay, I had my foot in. I'm saying, I'm a newbie to Raspberry Pi, but when I used to listen to Nick all those years ago, I think he was one of the first that I heard him talking about. I did have an old desktop, and I did have Ubuntu, and I used to play around with that. So I think once I get back into it.
There you go. A lot of fun, and it doesn't cost much.
I will also say, unashamed plug, I teach a course on Raspberry Pi for beginners at mastermindlounge.com.
Oh, good.
And I will post a link to that.
Please do. Thank you.
Yep.
And where should we go to find these links, Nick?
Well, we should probably just go right to soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And you will find it posted there in about a minute or so. I will have that link up and posted shortly.
And do we have a link for the what was the Leaps?
Yes, that's already there.
Okay. The Leaps videos for self-training.
I encourage people myself too to get, they're inexpensive, and I feel like it's just the beginning for me with having messed with the touch display and now there. So thank you.
And even if you try it and you say, you know what, I thought I was going to really be into this, but it's not what I'm looking for, you can turn it around and sell it pretty much for whatever you paid for it for the most part.
Well, thank you, because I wasn't going to ask the question, but not the Raspberry Pi, but the touch screen display I'm done with. So I might as well pass that along to somebody else that can probably do better than I. Because you can, I know you can hook it to your car. I mean, I knew there was different things you can do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yep. So for the pies and accessories, there's always a big hobbyist group in Rochester. There's lots of smart people who are having a lot of fun with electronics in general. and Rochester in general is a town that that attracts people who are interested in these kinds of things, with all the different industries that have been here over the years, and B&L and Harris and all the colleges nearby. Okay. So yeah, sure. And the market for people who'd be interested in these is definitely there.
I should also remind everyone that tomorrow night at 9 p.m., we are, speaking of Mastermind Lounge, they were kind enough to give me a lounge. We will have the Soundbites Lounge at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday night. It's a video chat. If you go to soundbites.org/lounge at Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, you will see a link that will give you access to that. It is an open video chat system. So as with all video chats, it depends on how good your connection and system are as to how good that video chat works for you.
Right.
But the software itself at the Mastermind Lounge End works really well. And you can always come there and ask questions too. Okie doke.
Have a good day.
Thanks, okay. You too. But yeah, I've been teaching classes on Raspberry Pi and Linux and a few other things at Mastermind Lounge. And
right, and I know you wrote ebooks about Chromebook.
I have written books about the Chromebook. I am in the process of finishing one about the Raspberry Pi. I wanted to get my Pi 400 working,
right,
so I could finish that one up. I will have a book on the Raspberry Pi coming up shortly. And I had an idea for another one, just the other day. So we'll see how that one works as well. But
before that, it looks like we have another call.
Yes, we do. We have Bob from Henrietta. Hi, Bob. What's up?
Oh, good afternoon. First suggestion for Paul, VMware is a great way to learn Linux or any other operating system. You screw up, you wipe it and start over.
That's true. Absolutely true. If you can, similar to the concept of a Raspberry Pi, VMware lets you create virtual machines on your own computer, and you can run multiple operating systems simultaneously, particularly if you're talking about Linux. All of those operating systems are free. So you can, in fact, most of them actually have images you can download specifically for VMware. And so you can then download that, set up a virtual machine, a VM, and learn Linux that way. You're absolutely right. It's a great way to do that.
Yeah, you don't have to be afraid of screwing up.
That's true.
Exactly.
But anyways, right.
What I called up about was, these Raspberry Pis, can they run any flavor of Linux, or does it have to be just Raspbian or whatever?
There are multiple, not every version, but most distributions have a version for the Raspberry Pi. It is a different processor. It is an ARM-based processor, so you can't run the Intel version of an operating system. But most of them have recompiled their system for a Raspberry Pi, so you can download dozens of different operating systems and try them all out. Ubuntu has them. A bunch of them have them, so... I'm going through the list would be futile.
Yeah,
there's just a bunch.
Too
so
many,
yeah. go find if you really need to just look for just go to Google and look for Raspberry Pi Linux for Raspberry Pi.
Okay, but there because it's not so widespread as for example Ubuntu. There might not be pre-compiled packages available for various software packages.
There are not every one. That is absolutely true. But there are quite a number of them that are available, yes.
Have you heard of anybody successfully playing with a Plex server on that?
With what?
A Plex?
Plex server?
I have.
Good question.
Not. That's a very good question.
I know
actually.
That people are doing that with Synology network-attached storage devices, but I don't know if I've seen that on the Pi before.
Right.
Well, basically, right now, I run a Linux box as the head-end machine for the house. Mm-hmm. It's Ubuntu 20.04, and it also runs a Plex server to feed media throughout the house.
Sure.
Right.
I'm just wondering if I could...
I think the decoding...
Yeah,
I think the decoding is probably going to be the trickier part.
Well, here's a website called Pi My Life Up.
Okay.
P-I... my life up, and it tells you how to set up a Raspberry Pi Plex server.
Hmm.
And I will post that
to the Soundbites page.
The Soundbites page.
Might be interesting next time I rebuild this box.
Sorry?
Might be interesting to look at next time I rebuild this box.
There you go.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Order another box and try it.
Definitely probably be a lot less power consumption.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, power consumption. But what about power for decoding and the functions that a Plex server runs?
Yeah, I think the decoding might be the trickier parts.
Well, it shows it here.
If you need probably going to be slimmed down a little.
If you need to transcode things to a different resolution than what the file is originally,
right?
That might be trickier.
Well, yeah, theoretically, you can do it in the background. You can do it off.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I don't really transcode too much because connections are all gigabit Ethernet throughout the house, so I don't have to shrink it down.
Right.
Okay.
At any rate, I have just published that on our website.
And I'll take a look at it later. Thank you.
Thank you. So that's soundbites.org, bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And the first link is always about you don't have enough backups.
Mm-hmm.
The second link is always about the Soundbites Lounge tomorrow night at 9 p.m.
I'm familiar with the site. In fact, I responded to your reply to my point about Greenlight and the infrastructure build about an hour ago.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
All right. Have a good day, and thanks.
You too.
Okay, thank you.
We have some spammers in the forums, and I'll fix those a little later. But yeah, you'd be surprised at what you can do with a Raspberry Pi. You're right. Some things will be slow. It's not the hottest video server in the world.
But it wasn't ever designed to be.
Right. No, but it's still, matter of fact, on Leap, sir, he shows you playing different video games. They're not going to be super fast as, you go out and buy your gamer, latest video card, fastest shoot 'em up action interaction show. It'll do it. It just won't do it as fast.
Well, and last night I played just a couple of YouTube videos. I'll experiment more with them later. And I had a little bit of lag, but I had a little bit of lag on a computer that cost $100.
You know what?
Get over yourself.
You know what I foresee?
No, you don't.
A lot less sleep for Nick Francesco.
What?
A lot less sleep for Nick Francesco.
There goes nap time.
I have to admit, as I get older, I sleep more. I'm up to about 5.5 hours a night, so I may have to go back down to 4.5.
Oh, boy.
Again, I used to get 4.5 hours of sleep a night for decades.
Oh, I wish I could do that.
And it was fine. But now I find I need about 5.5. Some days 6, I'll admit.
It's called getting older.
I'm getting older. Not old, but older.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That beats the alternative.
It beats the alternative.
Looking down at the flowers, not up.
That's right. As long as I keep looking up to see sky, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. We did have another question.
Okay.
How do you ensure password managers stay secure? How do you know your password manager app is trustworthy and does not have a backdoor? Sally.
That's a very good question, Sally.
You don't.
The basic thing is it works like everything else. Many eyeballs have looked at these programs. So many people who are very savvy about this stuff, and the ones they've picked up on, like again, EnPass, 1Password,
KeePass,
things like that. Those are known good items. 100% certain. Nothing is in this world. But there have been, to date, and look at it this way. The number one thing that you're going to want to hit if you're a bad guy is the password manager.
Yep.
And I certainly know EnPass has never been breached. So, that I know of.
And not likely.
And again, what they can get is only the encrypted database.
Right, which is scrambled. It's random characters. It's useless.
Right. You can go look at that file. You can post that publicly if you want to. If you've used a strong password, that will be nothing is unbreakable, but certainly unbreakable in your lifetime, which is really what you're concerned about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the thing that you have to be to worry about. How long will it take to break your password? And like I said,
it's secure enough.
My password could probably be broken in somewhere under 1,000 years. Somewhere okay. between 500 and no, probably 1,000,000 and
well, they
50.
Can break
so
it
several
after
a dozen generations.
Yeah,
they can break it after 100 years for me. I don't care.
Well, that's exactly right.
Be, we'll be here.
And that's, of course, exactly what the point is. If it's secure in your lifetime, and really, what more can you ask?
Yeah, really.
Frankly? So, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily worry about it in terms of.
You're far more likely that something else is the alternative right. of not using one. Is much, much riskier.
The fact is T-Mobile's going to be broken into, your bank's going to be broken into, everybody else is going to be broken into.
Yep.
If you're using a password manager and your passwords are all unique and heavy across all those applications, you only have to change one password when something gets broken into. If you aren't using a password manager, the likelihood is that your passwords are weak mm-hmm. and that you've used them in multiple places.
Yes.
So you're much safer using a password manager than not. Are they 100%? No. Are they 99.999%? Yes.
Right. Well, so, and using the password manager and having it pick the passwords
right.
for the accounts that you create.
Right. Right.
So
my,
yeah.
my daughter wanted to use my Disney Plus password, which is legal. She's okay. my daughter. That's allowed.
All right.
She was angry. And it's so long and complex.
Dad.
Because you have to type, you know, it's down, 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 over, over, over.
With again. The TV remote.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. I said, get over yourself.
Sorry.
That's the password.
Yeah.
And then she called me back and said, is that the same one for, no. It's I don't even care what you're asking about. No.
The answer is no.
The answer is no.
And the thing that is, you only got to type it in once.
That's the point.
It remembers it.
That's the point. A little bit of pain right now. For a unique password that's hardly breakable.
Yeah.
And you're better off all the way
Build
around.
A bridge. Get over.
That's exactly right. So, yeah. No, it is not going to be the most secure thing on the planet. But it is secure enough for your lifetime and certainly much more secure than your bank or your phone company.
Mm-hmm. Or your department store or yes, grocery store. Or
any other place that you use a password. One of the things I like about using my phone to buy things is that my phone generates a one-time password for
credit card number.
Credit card transaction I use.
Right.
So nobody can, it's much harder for anyone to steal my credit card number.
Mm-hmm.
Is it perfect? Of course not. Nothing is. But it's certainly a better alternative than any other at this point. So,
right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Make sure that you're using a password manager everywhere possible. All right. That music tells me that we're done for another week.
It's true.
It's unbelievable, but it's true.
So much fun.
I want to thank everyone who called in. You made this quite an enjoyable 2 hours. I want to thank Dave Enright. I specifically want to thank Mr. Dennis Worcester.
Well, thank you. It was lots of fun.
Who once again rearranged his entire life to come in here and help us out, and we couldn't appreciate it more. We could certainly appreciate it less, but we do not. We appreciate it more.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. And I want to thank all of you. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Sound Bites right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District.